Cyber fraud is evolving fast.
And so are we.
Join us in Chicago for the IFCI 2026 Cyber Fraud Summit at Willis Tower, formerly the Sears Tower.
2 days of real intelligence, AI, deepfakes, ransomware, crypto investigations.
And hear from leaders like Frank Abagnale.
And experts from Deep Media Chain Analysis in the Strategic Dark Web Group.
From human trafficking interdiction to elder fraud.
To cyber forensics and legal updates.
This isn't theory.
It's what's happening right now.
May 28th, 29th in Chicago, Illinois, the city of the big shoulders.
Join us. It's gonna be epic. So if anybody out there thinks they're safe, as long as they don't go on a dating website or they're not on social media, it could come right through your cell phone at any time. It could be a live phone call. It could be a text. It could be an email. And that's how they pull you into the fraud.
Introducing The Protectors, inside criminal minds from around the world. Presented by the IAFCI, leaders in safeguarding consumers from fraud and scams for more than 50 years. And now your hosts, International President Mark Solomon and Chairman of the Board Michael Carroll.
Hello, everybody. This is Mike Carroll, International Chairman of the International Association of Financial Crimes Investigators. I am with the one and only Mark Solomon, our international president. Mark, what's up?
Thank God there's only one of me. That's all I got to say, Mike. I don't know if people could take more than one of me, especially my family and my wife, but I love them dearly. But I am doing great, Mike. And you know what? We are on the precipice of the Cyber Summit. We're really excited about the lineup this year. We got a full house, and it's going to be an amazing 2 days of training and education for our members.
Going to be at the Willis Tower, which is formerly the Sears Tower here in Chicago, downtown Chicago. What a venue. It's up on the 76th floor. What a view. We got some great speakers, some good networking events. It's going to be awesome, Mark.
And I have a news flash. It just came in. They did repair the elevator, so I will not have to go up 76 flights of stairs. I'm really excited about that.
I was practicing last weekend. I went up five flights, came back down, and this week I was going to do six.
Yeah, take it easy, buddy. All right. Hey, we also, come August, we have our Nashville International Conference. It is going to be Fraud Unplugged. And again, registrations are filling up like crazy. Mike, what do you got to say about our conference this year?
What a venue, Nashville, Tennessee, August 25th through the 27th. We're going to be there with some great speakers coming in, great networking events, great sponsors, exhibitors. It's going to be awesome, Mark.
Yep. Got my boots shined. I am ready. I got my cowboy hat and this country boy from Connecticut's all ready to go to Nashville. So can't wait.
You don't sing.
No, I don't. Trust me. Not even in the shower. But anyway, hey, Mike, you know, it's been an incredible journey over the last 5 years with the podcast and so many memorable moments. And Mike, you actually played a part in bringing our next guest to the show. So I was wondering if you maybe could explain a little bit how that occurred.
Yeah, just through a friend. She knew that I was with the U.S. Postal Inspection Service for a long period of time, and I'm back helping out as a contractor analyst, and I've had numerous conversations with her, and she mentioned a friend that she had that was an enrolled agent, we'll learn more about that, that learned of a lady that lived in Minnesota that moved back to Illinois, and during the period where she was helping that person out with her taxes, she learned that this person lost over $1 million to a investor/romance scam.
Yeah.
And not only that, she was having problem getting benefits, having problems staying in the nursing home. She'll talk all about it, but I had several conversations with Sue, and I asked her if she would come on our podcast, which she wholeheartedly agreed to.
Oh, that's awesome. And so with that, I think we're going to bring Sue on. Our guest today is an enrolled agent and longtime tax professional from Illinois who found herself trying to help an elderly client whose life had been completely destroyed by a romance scam. What started out as a routine tax matter eventually uncovered fraudulent W-2s, fake income filings, money mule activity, and major issues involving Social Security and Medicare. She has spent decades helping individuals and families navigate tax and financial matters. She is also a mother of three and a grandmother of seven, and her firsthand experiences helping victims of financial exploitation have given her a unique perspective on the devastating human impact of these crimes. We'd like to welcome to the show Susan Somerville.
Hi, Mike and Mark. Thanks for having me on the show.
Awesome. So, Susan, can we call you Sue? Is that okay?
For sure.
All right. So I just want to start out with your background. I mentioned an enrolled agent. Can you tell us what an enrolled agent does and how you first met, let's call her Jane, how you first met Jane?
So to start off with, an enrolled agent is I'm a tax preparer that is certified by the IRS as having expertise in personal business taxes. I basically carry similar certification of a CPA without having all that education with it. I've been doing this as an enrolled agent for about 15 years, working in the tax industry for about 30. I met a woman named Jane, we're going to call her Jane, back in about 2020. She came to me to get her tax return done as she had sold a property in Minnesota and needed to file. Filed the tax return, everything seemed fine. Going from there, she then reached out to me the next year. She didn't need to file. That was all good. Then she reached out to me again and said that Social Security was taking too much Medicare tax from her, and she didn't know why. Hmm. I started doing some research with her, found out that she was in this, what they call the IRMA land, which means that her income was so high that they charge you more for Medicare. Upon doing the research and upon talking to Jane, she revealed to me that she had been sending all of her money to some gentleman she had met on her phone back in 2018. She had cashed in all of her IRAs, over $1 million, and sent it to him. She'd taken a second mortgage on her house, sent him the money, sold her house, sent him the money to help pay for his son's surgery, to help keep his business alive, etc. Upon doing further research, I found out that this group, or whoever these people are, had filed fraudulent W-2s and fraudulent 1099-Rs and 1099 miscellaneouses against her Social Security number in 2023 and 2024. And then they tried to file tax returns to get large refunds that she would then be expected to give to them.
And so was this while she was living, this occurred, this romance scam occurred while she was living up in Minnesota, right? And then she came back to live with...
It started in Minnesota and continued on to this day down in Illinois.
Okay, and she came to Illinois to live with her sister? Was that correct?
Once she sold everything off and had no money, she had no place to live. So she moved down here to live with her sister. She's originally from Illinois.
And Susan, there's so much to unpack here. You know, obviously you walked into the situation, thought it was just going to be a simple tax situation to handle and resolve, but it turned into obviously something much bigger. But I want to go back because we had spoken before and we talked about there was a significant life event that occurred previous to that fraud. Is that correct?
That is correct. Jane had lost her husband when she was 80. And at 82, felt that she could meet somebody else and have that love of her life again. And that's when she apparently somehow or another reached out and found this gentleman or this group. So that's what started all this, was in that essence of looking for, you know, love in her life again.
So what was like the first red flag that came to mind when you started having conversations with Jane? What set you off? I don't know if you knew a lot about these types of scams, romance and investment scams, but was there something you were like, uh-oh, you know, she's definitely caught up. This definitely
well,
not.
I didn't really know a lot about them to begin with. Obviously, I knew they existed in the financial world. You're going to know scams exist. Really hadn't been involved in any that I knew of. In her case, things just started to snowball and things didn't make sense. And not making sense is always a problem for me. And so part of what I do, and it's me personally, is I like to help people. I'll help them with the real estate taxes, whichever. And then in Jane's case, I was like, let me help you with your Medicare issue, your Social Security issue. And that's when all this just started getting worse and worse and worse. And it's bad. There's just no way around it. They've taken everything from her financially, but then they've taken what's left of her life. And she'll be 90 this September.
So, and again, like I said, this is like a tsunami of a fraud that hit this poor victim. And, you know, Mike, I know Mike and I and Doug, we've had many a guest when we're talking about these scams. And what we find out is that it usually happens right around the time period of a significant life event. You know, it could be a divorce, it could be a death, it could be a loss of a job. You know, and I just want to remind our audience that those are the times where you are most vulnerable. And those are, you know, what criminals are looking for. They're looking for somebody that's lonely, hurt, maybe depressed. That's when, you know, they swoop in and target you. So just keep that in mind. You know, we don't want to see people, lose a spouse or a loved one or have difficulties in their lives with the divorce, but also put in the back of your head, just realize that there are people out there that are going to try and take advantage of that.
Exactly, Mark.
One thing I found in this process, and I reached out to Mike first, and he's been a great assistance to me, just guidance if, you know, and how to handle this. But one thing I've realized now in the course is that in the grand scheme of things, we're all so busy in our lives and it just seems like nobody really cares and nobody wants to help. I think we all need to gather up and say, we can help.
Yeah, Sue, like you said, you like helping people and you did. You went further. You know, you contacted the IRS, right? You tried on her behalf and then you went to Social Security on her behalf trying to get her.
I've done everything I can so far.
Can I ask your experience with the IRS? How did that go, trying to reach out to them, let her know that she was a victim of identity theft?
Even though I'm an EA and I'm a preparer and I'm a practitioner and I have a special phone number I call, you get a general person on the phone. They really can't help you. They will notate the account and that's as far as it goes. When I've asked for help removing these fraudulent things on her Social Security number, well, you have to talk to Social Security. The IRS can't help you. Everybody pushes it down the road. Like there's no group that seems to want to step up and say, we could help you through this process.
Yeah. And Sue, I have to echo that because we've heard that from so many different victims and family members that, you know, there's the financial loss here, which was obviously devastating to Jane in this case. But then the what we call the collateral damage just piled up on her with Social Security, Medicare, you know, just horrific. So, and a lot of people don't think about that when, you know, if they arrest a suspect and he goes before a judge, they look at the financial, but they also need to look at the other impact beyond the money that it had on the victim.
For sure. I mean, absolutely. This has impacted the life that Jane has left. She is now, you know, yes, she's given away so much money and that's horrendous and horrifying, but to have nothing, no place to live and nowhere to go, and to not be given the same access as other people is devastating to our seniors that have worked hard all their lives.
And Sue, I actually just have to commend you and my co-host, Mike Carroll. You know, you could have just went on your way, went about your business and left her, and you didn't. And you've been fighting for her ever since. And you know what? I love my co-host, Mike Carroll. I've known him for, probably close to 20 plus years, Mike. And every time we hear a story like this, Mike picks up the phone, shoots an email, reaches out to law enforcement. In this case, he reached out to, you know, the postal inspectors. And he also wrote a letter, right, that actually helped with some of the red tape that was going on. I don't know if you could explain a little bit more about that.
So the red tape that was going on for Jane was because of the amounts of money that were showing up on her Social Security number, she was unable to get Medicaid to go into a nursing home. And then based on the income that she had, which is only her Social Security check, she was then not able to get a private nursing home because she had no money. So she had no place to live. And unless somebody battled for her and fought for her, she was going to be on the streets at 89 years old.
Oh, my God.
She didn't have enough money because, again, Medicare is taking a huge chunk of what she gets. And so she had not enough money to be able to afford to get a place to live. And she also needs some care at this point in time in her life as well. So it was just a snowball that was just getting larger and larger and larger. And I said to Mike, you know, at one point, it's not going to matter because she's not going to have a place to live. And it's not going to matter because she'll just be on the streets homeless. And we know what happens there.
Right. Well, thank you. And Mike, thank you. Like I said, you have a heart that is, I guess how the Grinch would say it, 10 times too large. You really go above and beyond. And I know you feel for the victims that you interact with. So thank you for what you do. You're a good man.
Unfortunately, I've heard a lot of these stories and it's tough. And so I wanted to ask you, just to go back, but maybe you would have some advice for our listeners. Talking with Jane, how this initially started with the romance investment type scam, did she ever tell you how she met this person? And with your conversation with her, what would you say is like the red flag right off the bat that somebody's going to lose some money?
Well, she met him on the phone. That's what she told me. She said she met him over the phone. So I don't think she had internet connection. I don't know if it was a cold call that it was just a lucky cold call for this person to get somebody that was vulnerable. She met him, according to her, over the phone. I think for me, and I've been looking at a lot of these now because it just seem to be surrounding. They're so rampant. Take time. Take the time. Don't answer anything. Give it a 3-day wait period. Don't answer anything. If they want money, if they want something, give it 3 days. Wait. Talk to your friends. Talk to your family. Talk to somebody and see what they say. Because if it's too good to be true, it probably is.
I'm glad you said that, Sue, because that has been a constant theme of Mike and the Protectors podcast. If something is too good to be true, it probably is.
And I know, Sue, that Jane was interviewed by Postal and the IRS, but did you mention that she had lost her phone, which might have had some good, you know, information on the phone, but she happened to lose her phone, the one she used to contact this person?
Absolutely. Yeah, her original phone has been lost and we've yet to recover it. We're still looking because she still has possessions where she was living. So it's still being searched for. But on that phone had all of the data and she was using a off-brand messaging service to reach out to this person. When she was able to get a new phone, of course, at her age, she hadn't backed anything up. She had nothing in the cloud, so nothing was able to be brought in. Even though the number remains, the data is apparently on that phone and on that phone only. Not that I'm a data expert, but, you know.
So, Sue, to our audience, I have to address this. Like, you know, we've heard victims before that were looking for relationships that went on maybe dating websites, or maybe they were contacted on social media, support groups, but it could be also so random. I'm looking at my cell phone right now. I got a text message at 8 p.m. last night, and it says, "Hello, could you tell me who you are? I have your number saved, but no name." Now, this is the ploy of a fraudster right here because they want you to respond and provide your information. And they're going to start that. Well, have we met before? Wait a minute. Are you with this group or did you used to work here? And they start this relationship out of nothing by just sending a text. So if anybody out there thinks they're safe, as long as they don't go on a dating website or they're not on social media, it could come right through your cell phone at any time. It could be a live phone call. It could be a text. It could be an email. And that's how they pull you into the fraud.
Absolutely. I get those all the time.
Yes, same here. And Sue, so have you been able to get all the Social Security now? I mean, recently, were you able to get her what she deserves, I guess, a monthly payment from Social Security?
No.
Okay.
So you're saying that have you attempted to make contact with them and have her restore her full Social Security benefits? And what has been the response?
So I can't get through to Social Security at all. The IRS still has all the data as far as the false data. They still are posting it under her Social Security number. Social Security won't remove it because it goes through Social Security first, which filing these things is fraud against the U.S. government to begin with, filing them fraudulently. But it's a process, and nobody wants to go through the process. And I mean, you could go right back to the company that supposedly filed these. But again, nobody wants to go through the process.
Cyber fraud is evolving fast.
And so are we.
Join us in Chicago for the IFCI 2026 Cyber Fraud Summit at Willis Tower, formerly the Sears Tower.
2 days of real intelligence, AI, deepfakes, ransomware, crypto investigations.
And hear from leaders like Frank Abagnale.
And experts from Deep Media Chain Analysis in the Strategic Dark Web Group.
From human trafficking interdiction to elder fraud.
To cyber forensics and legal updates.
This isn't theory.
It's what's happening right now.
May 28th, 29th in Chicago, Illinois, the city of the big shoulders.
Join us. It's gonna be epic.
Hey, so let me just go back to Jane, you know, when she was up in Minnesota and met this person and she got involved in a romance scam. How was the money sent to this person? Did she go to her bank and take out cash and send it to the person, or did she do wires? Or I'm just curious how that money went from her financial institution to the fraudster.
So some of the money was taken and turned into, she took the money from her bank, and then she would go to a postal service and ship boxes of cash. Sometimes she wrote checks. Sometimes she took it and was taught how to turn it into Bitcoin. Multiple different ways of getting the cash. Sometimes they would make her, or they would suggest to her that she go and buy things at Best Buy and send them to them, and then they would return them and get the cash for them.
Wow.
There was multiple different ways, and it went to multiple different people. It didn't just go to one person.
Yeah. So, you know, and one thing I think it's important to address here is that sometimes we think there's this, you know, thought out there that, oh, these people are being targeted because they're stupid, or maybe they're not intelligent, or maybe they've lost some of their faculties. But this woman, even though she's a senior, she was very sharp, my understanding. She had an incredible career background. And I just have to stress that, if you could share a little bit about her background, because it can happen to anyone. It could happen to a 17-year-old. It could happen to a 30-year-old. It could happen to a 55-year-old. It could happen to a police officer. It could happen to a judge, a lawyer, a tax accountant. You know, we've even had analysts from federal agencies that investigated some of these things, and they were targeted successfully. So I don't know if you could share just a little bit about Jane without getting too personal and what type of person she is.
Sure. So Jane is very astute, very well-dressed. At one point in her life, she was selling real estate on the north side of Chicago when women didn't sell real estate on the north side of Chicago.
Right.
She's not a stupid woman. She's very streetwise. She's very, lot of gumption. She's very intelligent. She just wanted to be in love.
Yeah.
And I hear this all the time. And the people that I'm talking to, a lot of, God, I found a lot more of my clients now that have been taken for very minor, what would be minor amounts, but they're not stupid people. These are people that have lived very good lives and have done very well for themselves because they're intelligent. They've just gotten taken probably because they are intelligent, not because they're stupid. I think if they were stupid, they probably wouldn't be involved.
Right. And Mark, just our last episode, we talked about that. And there's a pattern there too. You lose a spouse.
Yeah,
and now you're not the most important person in the world. You lose somebody that you spend your whole life with, and loneliness comes to play right there.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody calling them and becoming friends and expanding from that, you know, it's just, you see a lot of that pattern where they lose a spouse.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, these criminals know where to look. They'll look at obituaries and they'll find out that somebody passed away and their loving spouse is still alive. I mean, this isn't random. This isn't luck. They are specifically targeting their victims, and they're doing research on them. And it's horrible. It's horrible. And I keep saying that they target victims because of their goodness and not because of their weakness. And that's something I will always believe how this occurs. And Sue, I want to back up a little bit. I know she gave away everything, sold her house, every bit of money. But it wasn't even over then, right? Because she got involved in what we call money mule activity. I don't know if you could explain a little bit about that.
So in her case, they would send her money. Somebody would send her money. And then she was instructed to send that money onward. Other times to another mule. Other times, I don't know if she ever really had contact with the people that were creating this whole problem. But a lot of it, I've got verification of checks she's received that she then forwarded the money elsewhere. So sometimes she was a mule, sometimes she was a victim. You know, she just went down what I call the proverbial rabbit hole with them.
Yeah, Sue, and that's right. And I bring this up as a point because I've mentioned it previously on past episodes, is that I was introduced to a woman and her daughter who went through the exact same thing, gave away everything, you know, sent it believing that there was love or an investment opportunity. And, you know, at some point she became an unwitting money mule. She actually engaged this person and she thought she was in a partnership with a business to help people with tech scams. And she wound up receiving money and it was from other victims. And then she would ship that money out to the fraudster. And she was arrested in her 80s in a wheelchair and charged in a different state. She had to travel for every court appearance. She had to get a local attorney and travel to meet with them. And there just was no criminal intent. And she was facing prison time. I received an email I read last night. A good friend of ours, Paul Greenwood, has been helping out as well. And we found out that she pled guilty to a felony to avoid jail time. She's not been sentenced yet. But here is a woman that was a victim, wasn't a criminal, and now she has a felony conviction, and shame on the people that did that to her. It's bad enough that the criminals took advantage of her, but this woman should have never been prosecuted and put in a position to face jail time or plead guilty. So,
yeah, Mark, I agree with what you're saying. It's terrible. I mean, they're become a victim twice, you know. I mean, it just what happens to them as a money mule. I think education is part of it, is the key. I mean, not only to our citizens, but maybe to law enforcement too. Let them know, you know, these types of scams are out there, and without their knowledge, the victim becomes a money mule. They're doing it as a favor. They're doing it out of love. They don't know the consequences, and until something like this would happen, where they end up getting arrested, being in their 80s. Not knowing if they even did anything wrong. They probably don't, not sure about that, you know?
It is. And, you know, we need to fix the system. And, you know, the IFCI is doing that. We're training and education for law enforcement, prosecutors. But it goes higher than that. You know, it has to be the legislatures of the states that enact proper laws, protect victims, even in these circumstances where they may be given money that was stolen from somebody else and turned it over to somebody else, but they had no idea the money was stolen. You know, so hopefully we could do a better job with that. And like I said, really protect our victims further. And then the second thing, Mike, is, you know, you got to throw the book at these people. You know, a lot of them are overseas. We can't get them. But the ones that we can get, you know what? Send a message. If you're going to do this, you're going to spend a long time in prison. I know you feel the same way. So Sue, I want to go back into here and I want to refocus on you stepping up, Mike stepping up. You know, Mike has been in law enforcement more than 30 years and it's a passion of his, but it's a duty of him to help victims. But here you are, you know, have a professional relationship and you saw something, you stepped up, you pushed hard to get these changes done. Do you have any recommendation for other people in other careers that might be seeing this? What should they do?
Well, you know, I've got one thing to say. And like you say, I'm stepping up. You know, we're all humans and we should be taking care of each other. You know, what number's bigger than zero? And I said this to you yesterday. What number's bigger than zero? One. Let's stop one, save one, help one, prevent one. One is better than zero. Let's break the thread. That's why I stepped up. Let me try and break the thread someplace.
Yeah.
I can't help Jane. Unfortunately, she's given everything away. I can't fix that for her, but maybe I can fix it for somebody else. Education. I think we need to educate our seniors. I think we need to educate each other.
Right.
I think we need to create really good networks that we can help each other to prevent this, to report this, to do whatever it is to help make a change.
Sue, Mark, we had a IFCI meeting and one of the investigators from Bank of America, you know, came up with a little slogan, let's do more. We need to do more. And it goes along with what Sue is saying. So how about the families, like family members who have their mom or dad or, you know, older in the 70s, 80s? What would you recommend to them? You know, kind of keeping an eye on them. What else would you recommend? Reviewing their bank records or just noticing something different when they come to the house? What do you think on that?
Absolutely. Keep an eye on them, but don't threaten them. Don't tell them that they're silly, right, that they're stupid, that they're losing their minds, because that's scary. They're scared they're going to lose their freedoms. You know, don't be judgmental. Have grace. Give grace. Let them know that you love them. Let them know that you're only there to help them. Look at their bank records. Maybe be that person, a contact person that the bank can reach out to if they have suspicious activity. You know, just help. Just be there. Just support. Like that podcast said that, you know, you're not the most important person in anyone's life anymore.
Right.
And I know that as seniors, they feel that for sure, but maybe they should be. That's your mother, that's your grandmother, that's your best friend, that's another human being.
Yeah,
I know, Sue, that there's still some issues, and Mark and I, you know, being with the IFCI and having some contacts, we're going to follow up with you about getting some contacts with Social Security. We have some good contacts with IRS. I know they're looking into this investigation. But I want to ask you, you mentioned that there is some good news, right? Jane's in a new nursing home. Is that correct?
There is some good news. The nursing home that she was in post a procedure where she couldn't stay because it's a rehabilitation center, a woman who's connected with that organization took Jane's information under her wing and fought tooth and nail, along with the letter Mike had written for me, to get her Medicaid. And she's now in a facility that is much nicer. That's a permanent facility where she's It's a good place for her to be, from what I understand, as of April 1st. So that's a good thing. She's still losing part of her money every month, but she has a roof over her head. She has three meals a day. She's in a much better place.
Yeah. And you know what, Sue, I got to correct you just on one thing. You said previously that you weren't able to help her. And I want to say that you did help her. You maybe didn't prevent her from being a victim. It happened well before you met her, but you've helped her since. You've been there for her. You've been that fighting force for her, advocate. So you have done some incredible work, and thank you for sharing this story with us today. And we're not done. You know, Mike and I have some contacts. We're going to try and get this victim as much help for her future and help with Social Security and everything else. So we're not finished. Well, hopefully we'll be able to follow up with you maybe down the road and tell us some more good news.
Thank you very much. That's greatly appreciated.
And Sue, I know you've made some phone calls to Social Security and IRS, and they could be looking into it. I mean, I'm sure they want to help. It just process may be a little longer than, you know, they might be getting a lot of complaints. But Mark and I could at least find out and at least speed up the process. And I want to thank you, Sue, for coming on today. From your perspective, I hope that helps a lot of our listeners that have family members or even law enforcement and know that there are people out there that care like you that want to help people. And Mark, we need to invite her. You know, we have a local one here, Cook County Regional Organized Crime. We're setting up a task force for elder fraud prevention. I'm going to have to get Sue on board.
I think so.
So Sue, I'm going to reach out to you about that, see if you'd like to join. You know, you're kind of an expert now.
Please do. I'd be happy to help any way I can.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cyber fraud is evolving fast.
And so are we.
Join us in Chicago for the IFCI 2026 Cyber Fraud Summit at Willis Tower, formerly the Sears Tower.
2 days of real intelligence, AI, deepfakes, ransomware, crypto investigations.
And hear from leaders like Frank Abagnale.
And experts from Deep Media Chain Analysis in the Strategic Dark Web Group.
From human trafficking interdiction to elder fraud.
To cyber forensics and legal updates.
This isn't theory.
It's what's happening right now.
May 28th, 29th in Chicago, Illinois, the city of the big shoulders.
Join us. It's gonna be epic.
You know, Mike, another powerful episode, hearing how somebody was targeted, lost everything. But in this case, there's a ray of hope. Here is a professional who heard her story and could have turned the other way and fought for her, became an advocate, and she has helped her. You know, she didn't know her when the fraud was going on, but she stepped up. And that's what we expect from our Protector Nation. You know, we expect you to help others. If you see they're being targeted, you see they've been victimized already, it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. We got to help, Mike.
Exactly. You know, meeting her through a friend, you know, in the area that I live and talking to her, and I'm like, wow, she did a lot. You know, she took it upon herself to help this lady, you know, who was already a victim of a romance scam. You know, Mark, it's kind of getting close to home. I was saying too close, but I had a family member that just got caught up in an imposter scam and potentially lost $9,000, but he was able to get his money back from the financial institution. So it's crazy. It's demonic fraud. Like you said, let's do more, whatever we can do to get the word out and put some of these people in jail.
Yeah, and this is why we do the Protectors. It's to educate, it is to help victims that already been victimized, but it's also to shed light on some incredible people that go above and beyond and maybe take a tragedy and turn it into something powerful, like Kelly Gao being able to go through that situation with her mom, still not have the answer she's looking for, but reaching thousands and thousands of people so they don't become victims, or if they're in the middle of these scams, that somehow we could pull them out from under that spell. So Mike, and kudos to you. Like I said it during the show, but you know, you care. And that's one of the greatest qualities you could have. So, hey guys, with that, we want to thank our nation once again for tuning in. Please make sure you subscribe. We're on all the major platforms, right? Mike, where can they find us?
I like Spotify. Wherever you go to listen to podcasts, we're there, the Protectors Podcast. We want you on board. We need a lot more Sioux out there.
Yeah, we do. You could be helping somebody save their life saving. So don't be afraid to step up and say something and interact with that person or their loved ones or family members. All right. With that, Mike, again, if our nation wants to reach out to us, you're a subject matter expert, you're a victim, you'd like to hear a particular topic, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email at protectorspodcast@iafci.org. So, Mike, time for me to sign off. I want to thank everybody and our incredible producer, Doug Taylor. And I'm the international president of the IAFCI, and I'm signing off from the great state of Connecticut.
This is Mike Carroll, international chairman. And like we mentioned before, let's do more. Signing off from the great state of Illinois.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Remember, as you join the fight to protect our citizens, you're not alone. With more than 6,500 members from around the world, the men and women of the IAFCI are standing together with you. To learn more or to join the IAFCI, please visit our website at www.iafci.org. The Protectors Podcast is produced by Modified Media and is available for free wherever you listen to podcasts. The hosts and guests' opinions are their own and do not reflect those of management, employers, or sponsors. Listeners are encouraged to contact law enforcement if they suspect being a victim of a crime.